I'm going to invite you to stay seated, right? Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. So you know this chapter pretty well. We read in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The hand of the Lord was upon me. Ezekiel is speaking here, right? And he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life, and I will attach tendons to you, and make flesh come upon you, and cover you with skin. I will put my breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And I was prophesying, and there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared in them, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Just think about those words. It was a declaration of those dry bones of that army. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Oh, my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you out from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. And I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken. I have done it, declares the Lord. Father, we thank you for the teaching of your word. For it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It is our compass for life. It leads us and guides us. We keep it in our heart so that we will not sin against you, O Lord. Help us, O Lord, to embrace this word. Open our hearts to hear the teaching this morning. Lord God, help that our Sunday would change our Monday, O God. We thank you for your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So today I want to answer the question, how do we refocus? So our theme is focus. We're focusing on three things this year. Revival, growth, and expansion. Sorry. So last week we talked about focus, right? And how do we stay focused? We answered the question, how do we stay focused? And we looked at in Hebrews, and we said, throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, run with perseverance, the race marked out for us, and we fix our eyes on Jesus. That's how we stay focused. But how do we refocus? Maybe there's some of us who are going through a tough time in our life, and we're like, you know what? I'm seeing things a little blurry right now. I need to refocus. And as I was studying this week and just asking the Lord to lead me for today's sermon, and I was even struggling, and Lord God, give me a word for the church this morning. I was struggling with my health. I was struggling just with busyness, and we had so many things going on. And then the Lord just led us to teach out of this scripture. And I think that we can see here how we can refocus. So before we enter to the teaching, just a little historical setting here. So at the time of Ezekiel prophesying these words, Judah had already been captive by the Babylonian Empire, and the exiles of Judah and Jerusalem had begun. So there had been captivity over Jerusalem, and now the exiles had begun. And it was a sad time in the Old Testament. And when you read the story, you will see of the captivity of Babylonia. It was a sad time in the Old Testament. It was, you know, when I think about sad times in the Bible, this is one of them. When the people of God are no longer a part of their city, a part of their nation, and they're being drawn out by the Babylonians, these evil people. And it's there where we realize, you know, how God is just and faithful to his word, right? And it's a sad time here to see God's people in this state no longer under the protection of God. It was not like in the time of Joshua, where their enemies came against God's people and God's people prevailed. It was not like those times. In the time of Joshua, the enemy of the people came against God's people, and God's people won the battles, won the wars. Now, it's a time when they have lost the wars, no longer under the protection of God. Or when the enemy came against the people under King Hezekiah's time, and God delivered them. No, it's not times like this. This was a sad time in Old Testament history where God's people saw destruction, where God's people saw their city being tumbled. It was a sad time. And here, God is showing Ezekiel through a vision. He depicts the situation in which Jerusalem finds itself. And in this vision, he depicts Israel as lifeless. Lifeless. He depicts Israel as one with no future, right? This vision shows them completely lost and a people without a God. It's depicted that way. It's a hopeless state. In fact, it's so hopeless that in verse 11, when I reread it, these are the words of the dry bones. They said, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of God of Israel." They say, the bones say, "Our bones are dried up. Our hope is gone. We are cut off." The situation was so bad, they never thought with their own eyes that they would be restored to Jerusalem again. They never thought. The situation was so bad, the circumstance was so bad, that it was unbelievable to think that restoration for Israel could happen again. Jerusalem was devastated so much that it was unbelievable to think that there could one day be a restoration in Jerusalem again. And the people themselves say, "We've been cut off." They recognized their state. They were living without God's blessing. They had been cut off. You know, sometimes when we're not doing good, how many sometimes are not doing good? I got my not doing good times. Sometimes when we're not doing good, we feel a sense that way too. Man, we're not connected to God. We're cut off. Can God's blessing really reside within us? And is God really leading? We feel a sense of being cut off. We feel a sense of, man, I'm not connected to God like I want to be connected. And there's this sense within us. And you know, and we feel like, how can I get back? How can I refocus? How can I get back to the place, right? There's a sense of God's blessing being lost. We're dried up. We're a valley of dry bones. You know, the valley of dry bones represents spiritual death. It represents that we have fallen into religious routine and have lost relationship. The valley of dry bones represents that we have removed ourselves from God's blessings, that we find ourselves in displeasure, right? That God's word is not active in our life, right? How do you know when you're in that place? Someone say, how do I know when I'm there? A few things I could say really quickly. When there's no desire for Bible study and no desire for prayer, we might find ourselves in a valley of dry bones. Where spiritual conversations embarrass us or we avoid them, we might find ourselves in a valley of dry bones. When we rationalize sin and we think, it's okay to do that, we might find ourselves in a valley of dry bones. When we can quote scripture and we can sing and we can attend service, but yet it doesn't make a difference in our lives, we may find ourselves in a valley of dry bones. When your life revolves around money and earthly things, we find ourselves in a valley of dry bones. When it no longer bothers us that others are in misery and others are hurting and in need and others find themselves lost and that doesn't bother us at all. It may mean that we are in a valley of dry bones. When worship and service to God does not exist, we may find ourselves in a valley of dry bones. When we don't have a blessed assurance, when we're not sure where we will spend eternity, we definitely find ourselves in a valley of dry bones. So how can we refocus then? How can I come out of this valley of dry bones? How can these bones live again? How can I not feel cut off? You know, how can I get to the place where I know I've been before and I want to be again? So I love the conversation that God has with Ezekiel. And God tells Ezekiel, do you believe? And Ezekiel wants to answer the right question. He's very diplomatic here. And he says, well, Lord, you are sovereign. You know all things. And God tells them, well, prophesy to them. Prophesy word to them. I love it. Speak word to them. Tell them, prophesy. He says, prophesy to these bones and say to them. Say to them, dry bones, you will hear the word of the Lord. And I love that he says, prophesy to them, breath, wind, pneuma. Prophesy to them and say to them, sovereign, prophesy to them, say to them, you will live again. I love that God tells them, I will restore them to their land. So I want to just, in these next few minutes, how can we refocus? There's three things that I can see in this scripture. We must believe God for his word. We must embrace his spirit. And we must understand mercy. And if we do those three things, we can refocus and get back on track. And the church says, the first one, we must hear God's voice. So God tells Ezekiel to prophesy over these bones. And he says to them, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I love that. As Bible people, we love that, right? Hear the word of the Lord. God declares a word over these dry bones. And he says, I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. We must embrace God's word. We must be believers of God's word. God's word is infallible. It means that it will not fail us. I love that Hebrews tells us God's word is so living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing soul, spirits, joints, and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts. We must embrace God's word. Be attentive to my words, Solomon writes. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. That's Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 22. God's word is life for all who find them and healing to their flesh. What word has God declared over your life? Believe God for a prophetic word over your life. Now, many times in scripture, especially when you look at some of the minor prophets, the prophetic word was for the now moment. Yes, there is prophecy for the future too, but many times in scripture it was dual, and at many times it was prophetic for the moment for them. If my people would do these things, there was something that would happen right then for there. And when we look at a lot of the minor prophets, especially, it was a now word for them that God wanted to help them now and rescue them now. What prophetic word do you believe over your life that will help you refocus and get on track, right? This is important. Are you struggling with your faith, right? Well, believe God. He says, if you seek me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart. Believe God for that word. You're struggling with your faith? Believe God that if you seek him, you will find him. You know, what are you struggling with? What prophetic word do you need over your life? Are you struggling with your identity, who you are, and what God has called you? Well, God says, I know the plans I have for you, and their plans to prosper you, and their plans to keep you and make you well, right? This is the blessing for us, to give us hope in the future. Are you struggling with your confidence in who you are? God says, be confident of this, that he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion. What prophetic word do you need over your life to refocus you? Or do you need a word of forgiveness to remind that you have been forgiven? A word of restoration to be reminded that you've been restored? Are you struggling with hardships in life and you feel like, man, I'm not sure what to go, how to go? We know, but the Bible tells us that no temptation has seized us except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Are you going through something? I want you to know that you can persevere and you can get through it. What prophetic word do you need over your life? God's word is infallible. It never comes back void. It always accomplishes what it intends to accomplish. The question is, do we embrace it? Do we believe it? Do we accept it? You know how many people, they quote scripture, but they're not believers of it. They're not believers of it. Do we believe that this is the logos, that this is the wind of God, the pneuma of God, right? Do we believe that it has been inspired by God himself, the omnipotent, omnipresent, transcendent, immanent God, faithful God, good God? Do we believe that his word has spoken into our lives? And if we do, are we willing to allow it to refocus us? Embrace the word for you and for your life. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. I want to encourage you today. What is it that you need for you in your life? What does the scriptures teach us? Believe God for that prophetic word in your life, a now word for you. Step out on faith and believe God. I love that Hebrews says God's word is alive. Believe God for it. And I promise you that it would begin to refocus you and give you direction to everything that you need in life. And the church says, you know, I am torn and worried. And people are willing to read horoscopes and believe them. To me, I think, what? You're willing to read a horoscope and believe it? Allow it to produce fear in you, but you won't read the word of God. I don't understand it. People are willing to be led by their own desires. When we've come to understand our sinful state, and we've come to understand who we are and our sinful nature, and we're willing to trust our own sinful desires over God's word, we find ourselves in a valley of dry bones. Right? But when we want to hear what people have to say, and we take that as some type of direction for our lives, but not the prophetic word comes from the mouth of God for us, we find ourselves in dry bones. When we're led by negative people, we find ourselves in dry bones. And when we do the easiest thing to do, we find ourselves in dry bones. I want to encourage you today. What refocuses us? Believe God for his word. Just don't be hearers of God's word. I love that James tells us that, right? Don't be hearers of God's word, but be doers of God's word. Yeah. Believe God for it. Step out on faith. And you will see the hand of God, the power of God, the restoration of your life, the refocusing. God will always lead his people. And when we are obedient to God's word, we will not find ourselves in a valley of dry bones. We will never find ourselves cut off. We will never find ourselves absent of God's blessings. No, when we are obedient to God's word, when we understand that it's the word spoken for us, we embrace it and we know that it is ours. How do we refocus today? Embrace God's word for you. Embrace God's. I don't know what each and every one of you are going through, but what does the Bible say for your situation? If you believe God for it, I promise you that you will have clear focus for your life. And the church says, the first thing is the focus. Second thing is, feel God's spirit. Right? I love verses 9 and 10. They tell us, then he said, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army, the four corners. Wind came from the four corners. Now, the word breath in verse 9 and 10 is the same Hebrew word for the word spirit. It's the same Hebrew word for the word spirit. It's talking about the spirit of God, right? It's the same Hebrew word when you do a word study there. And it's the same word where the psalmist used, where should I go from your spirit? That's that word breath there. When he's saying, speak breath into them. It's the same word in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, where it says, now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the spirit of God, the breath of God, was hovering over the waters. It's the same word. It's the same word that the psalmist used. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. So when God is telling Ezekiel, prophesy God's breath, he's saying, prophesy God's spirit over their lives. That God's spirit would be over the life. It was clear that if we want to be out of the valley of dry bones, we must seek God's spirit. It's God's presence that brings life. Look what Jesus said, John 6:33. The spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. If we want life, we must engage in the spirit of God. Right? We find ourselves in the valley of dry bones. is because we haven't cultivated and given opportunity to the Spirit of God that dwells within us to work in us and to lead us and guide us. Paul writes, now the Spirit of the Lord is, and we're there, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So we don't habitate under captivity when the Spirit of the Lord dwells within us. And we have given freedom, but we enjoy life and freedom with God's Spirit over our lives. The Spirit of God is what brings us to understand His will and His way. And I want to let you know that if you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God's Spirit is upon you and in you. The Bible says that when we have given our life to Christ, after we have believed, Ephesians 1:13, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. You and I have the triune God that dwells within us. I love that Paul writes, and he says, we have this surpassing power in jars of clay, right? We are vulnerable and weak, and we are insufficient, but God's power within us gives us all that we need, as Peter writes, for life and for success. And I love that we can, because we have the Spirit of God within us. I want to let you know today that you can refocus. Why? Because God's Spirit is within you to help you every day to live the life that you have been called to live. I love that Joel writes this and says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. How many know that God has poured out His Spirit on these days? And He's filling us with His Spirit. And He's leading us and guiding us and helping us. And because of God's Spirit, we do not have to habitate in a valley of dry bones. But we can enjoy God's will and God's way. And we can be focused in everything that God has for us in life. That does not mean that we will be perfect. No, we're all going to sin. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The righteous man will fall 7 times and get up again. We understand those things. But to know that God's Spirit within us helps us to see clearly His will for our lives. I love that in Exodus chapter 33, Moses tells God, if your Spirit doesn't go with us, don't send us from here. In other words, we're not going nowhere without your Spirit. Is that our dependency of the Holy Spirit? Is that our desire to submit to His will and His direction? If you don't lead us, then we don't go. Too many people find themselves in a valley of dry bones because they've done it their own way. They've done it the way of the flesh, the sinful nature. They've submitted and given into those things, and that draws them to a valley of dry bones. That draws them to a dark place where they feel cut off, where they feel that God is not close to them. But isn't it a wonderful thing that God says, prophesy my Spirit to blow into your life? And I love to use the term, when we seek God, it refreshes our soul. Right? When we worship, it refreshes our soul. It renews our spirit. So today, maybe you feel like you're in a valley of dry bones and you need to refocus. Oh, receive the wind of God, right? The pneuma of God, the Spirit of God. Receive the refreshing of God's wind. Know that God has poured out His Spirit upon your life. Be renewed with His Spirit. Don't cut yourself off from it. Open your heart. Be transparent with God and say, Lord, I need a revival of your Spirit within my life. I need to feel that you're moving within me. Let your fruits, Lord God, be what represents us. And you will see that in the midst of that prayer and that time, there will be a refreshing of your soul to lead you into what God has for you. And the church says, how do we refocus? Embrace God's word, man. Embrace God's Spirit. The third thing is embrace God's mercy. I love verse 12, 13, and 14. It says, therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the Lord, sovereign Lord says, O my people. I love when you just take a moment out and just embrace the scriptures and just stop and enjoy the words. They feel cut off and they're in a place of shame and brokenness, a place of captivity. And God still calls them my people. Maybe you feel cut off, but isn't it a wonderful thing to know that God says, my people, I still love you. I'm still so interested in you. Maybe you have sinned and you feel far from God. There's no place that God will not reach you and call you his people, right? And I love that. He says, therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. He's saying, what you see impossible, Jerusalem being destroyed the way it's being destroyed, what you see impossible, God will make possible. I love that God is saying, I will show you mercy like no one else will ever have shown you mercy. He says, oh, my people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. And I will bring you back to this land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. And I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. What is hard for man and impossible for man is easy for God. Easy for God. But they saw themselves cut off. Jerusalem could never be restored again. The Babylonians, when they would go in, they would destroy the gates and the walls, and they would make the city vulnerable, and anyone can come in and have their way. And they took the best of the land out and left the poorest of the people there to work the land. Then they would disperse them to different lands to completely destroy, eliminate from the face of the earth those people. And God says, I will restore you once again. The captivity had begun for the Israelites. And Jeremiah reminds us in Jeremiah 25:11 that it would be for 70 years that they would be in captivity. And Jeremiah tells us that they would be in captivity for 70 years. So 70 years later, about those times, Daniel is now working in Babylonia. He was one of those that were taken out. He was taken out at a very young age. They say that he was taken out in the first group of exiles. There was three of them, and he was a young man, and he was taken out. And you know the story of Daniel. If you've read the first four chapters, they're phenomenal reading, fun reading. I encourage you to read them. But in Daniel chapter 9, is so beautiful. Daniel chapter 9. When you read Daniel chapter 9, Daniel prays to God, and he says, that the people say, we're covered in shame. And he says, all Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. He says in chapter 9, yet we have not obeyed him. Chapter 9, verse 18, look at Daniel's prayer. So it's been 70 years now, about 70 years. And Daniel knows the prophetic word, and he says this prayer, give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make request of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. I don't know how that resonates with you, but it always moves me when I read that verse. And he says, so Daniel says this prayer, says it's been 70 years since Ezekiel's seen in the valley of dry bones. It's been 70 years, roughly, give or take a few years. And he's saying, hear this prayer. The city that bears your name, he goes to the heart of God. And he says, remember your words. Remember what you have said. This is your city. It bears your name. You called us your people. And he says, we don't ask this request because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. How do we refocus embracing God's mercy? We don't refocus thinking that we deserve to refocus. And we don't refocus because it's like the thing to do. We embrace God's mercy. Just a show of God's mercy. Just a show of God's grace for the love of his people is enough. Perhaps you feel that you've been far from God and that you are in a valley of dry bones. I want to tell you today that it's from that valley that God speaks to us and he shows us mercy. And he shows us his love. Perhaps you feel that you have done wrong or you've been disconnected or whatever it may be, but it's there where God speaks to us and tells us, my mercy will reach you. You're my people. Maybe you've lived a life that you say, man, but I've made some bad choices. The Bible says where sin increased, grace increased even the more. So I love the author of Hebrews when he says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Maybe you need to refocus. It's in the throne of grace. It's in the throne of God. It's in the throne of grace where you will find the mercy that you need to help you in your time of need. That you will find mercy and grace to help you in your time of need. It's the opportune moment. It's the now moment. And God says there's grace and mercy for you now. So how do we refocus? We refocus by understanding that God is merciful. And you don't have to think, I'm not worthy, I don't deserve it. You don't have to think any of those things. God's mercy washes away all those things. And you can come before the Lord just as you are and say, God, I want to have a year of focus to know your will and live your way and live the life that you've called me to live. I want to have a year of clarity. I don't want it to be cloudy. I don't want it to be unsure. I don't want it to be doubtful. I want a year of clarity. A year of clarity. How do you do that? Embrace God's word. What is your condition? What do you need? Embrace God's word. Find the word for you today and believe it as the pneuma of God, the logos of God, the word of God. Spoken word, believe it for yourself. I promise you, God's word is infallible. It will not fail you. It will not come back void. Embrace God's spirit. Because God's spirit within you, you win. He will help you and lead you every single day, God's spirit. And embrace God's mercy. Because what seems impossible for you is so possible for God. What seems that you can't, God can. And what you think you don't deserve, God gives graciously. Isn't that awesome? So you can live a life of focus. Because it's not based on your good works. It's not based on your righteousness. It's not based on your success. It's based on God's mercy that we find in his throne for our need every single day. And the church says, I'm going to invite you to stand as we get ready to close. Answering the question, how do we refocus, right? Well, last week we talked about focus. Staying focused. Today, refocus. I'm believing God for a year in my life like never before. And that don't mean it's going to come easy. We gotta work hard. We got to persevere. We got to be intentional. But the Lord will help us. So maybe you're here today and God is speaking to you. And you feel like you've been in a valley of dry bones. You've been cut off. The circumstance even seems a little impossible for you. And you feel like, man, how do I get out of this? I'm in a place of stagnation. I'm in a place of dryness. I feel disconnected. I feel lost. And I want to be focused for this year. Embrace God's word. Embrace his spirit and embrace his mercy. And if you're here today and you would like prayer to help you apply that word to your life this morning, as we sing this next song, the altar is open. We want to pray with you, help you apply the word to your life, that your Sunday would change your Monday. And if you're here visiting us and you don't know Jesus, or you're disconnected from him completely, and you need reconciliation, the Bible says if we confess our sins and confess Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we will be saved. Maybe you're here today and you need to connect to God. You need to ask him to be your Savior and your Lord. As we sing this next song, the altar is also open for you. We want to pray with you today, a prayer that will change your life forever. God bless you and God keep you. Thank you, Lord, for your word.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.